But he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. Let's take note of that. Lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Lest by her continual coming. It's like the judge has seen that this person is not going to give up. Continual coming. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, verse 8, and that is my emphasis. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless. Everybody say nevertheless. Meaning that he was about to say something else. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comments, this is King James. Okay, let me read it. Okay. I tell you this, he will avenge it speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? I tell you, this is King James now. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So that's the theme. This is the theme of this conference. Shall he find faith on the earth? I want to welcome you to this conference with these words that God has put in my heart. And I want to say that this is an unusual conference. Unusual in the sense that God is going to be opening up to some certain things that will not live our life the same. I expect you to say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Unusual because God is going to be reaching out to us. Not just in words alone. But God is going to be reaching out to us and be setting us free from some certain things. Now, if you read the book of Hebrews, can I have Hebrews chapter 4? No, sorry, chapter 6. I think verse 4. Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 4. I just want you to understand and then so your heart can be prepared. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partaker of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God, and the power of the age to come. And have tasted the good word of God, and then the power of the age. You know, here he's talking about people who are once in Christ, and then one way or the other, they deny the faith. But look at what he said. That these people, when they were in Christ, they have tasted the good word of God, and then they have tasted what? The power of the ages to come. And that's what you're going to be tasting in this conference. You're going to be tasting the good word of God. And then you're going to be tasting the power of the ages to come. Hallelujah. God is going to be reaching out to us. Not just in words, like I said. So prepare your heart. God will heal you. Will deliver you. Will set you free. Whatever thing it is. Whatever thing. Will answer questions in your heart. Nobody will come here and live here the same. If you are confused before you came, if you have doubt, questions in your heart, God will answer them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, this is coming to my heart once again. I don't know who you are, but there's somebody here that you've been bedwetting for some time. It's been a long time. You've been bedwetting. You are mature, you're not a kid. And it's been happening frequently. Every time I pray about this conference, this word keep coming to my heart. This thing I'm describing. And you are here. You are here. You've been praying. You have prayed. And it seems as if nothing is working. It's becoming an embarrassment to you. But let me announce to you. By the power of the Holy Spirit. The attention of heaven is upon you. And God is setting you free. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. It's to cause reproach for you. But God is turning away that reproach. He's clothing you with the garment of honor. Amen. That thing has caused you disgrace. It has caused you reproach. Anytime you want to go and sleep, you're afraid. Because you know it will happen again. But I'm saying to you by the word of the Lord, it is over.
Amen.
It is over.
Amen.
It is over.
Amen.
It is over.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. So please, like I said, expect God to. Bible says Jesus Christ was preaching a place and the power of God was present to do what? To heal. So please expect it. Expect it. Let your heart be open. Let your heart be what? Yeah, let our heart be open. Let's trust God to reach out to us in a new and a living way that some of us have not experienced before. Hallelujah. And so Jesus said, if the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? One of the things, the first thing I want to say is this, that when he said, when the Son of Man comes, that statement underscore again the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It emphasized again that Jesus is coming back. Because he said, when the Son of Man comes. And so we cannot, it's not something we can debate, like what Deacon Josh said, we can't debate it. Jesus is coming back. Whether you believe it or not, so it didn't say if, it said when. So it is a matter of time. Jesus is coming back. Now, why do we need to emphasize this? Because there are people, do you know that there are people who are saying today that Jesus has already come? That when he came and manifest in us. So if he's already in us, why are we expecting his coming? But Jesus said, and my focus is not to show you from scripture whether Jesus is coming or not. That's not my focus. Yeah. But Jesus is coming. It doesn't matter what people say, Jesus is coming. So, it's a matter of when. And he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Let me read from different translation. So, the concern of Jesus Christ is, if I come, will I find faith on the earth? Will I find faith on the earth? NLT says this. I tell you, I will grant, verse 8, NLT. I tell you, I will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? How many will he find on the earth who have faith? The Message Bible. I assure you, he will. He will not drag his feet. But how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns? How much of that persistent faith? So he's looking for people who are persistent in their faith. Whose faith is on that anchor? Are we here? Persistent faith. The TPT put it this way. He said, God will give swift justice to those who don't give up. So be ever praying, ever expecting. Just like the widow was with the judge. Yet, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find this kind of persistent faithfulness in his people? Persistent faithfulness in his people. So when we talk about when Jesus comes, will he find faith on the earth? We are talking about persistent faith. We are talking about faith that cannot be swallowed up by situation or circumstances. We are talking about undying faith. We are talking about unwavering faith. Faith that cannot waver. Faith that cannot be moved. We are talking about enduring faith. Faith that endures through all generations. Faith that keep waiting and keep looking and keep watching and keep waiting, praying, even if it does not come in our time. We are not going to lose hope waiting for him. That's the faith we are talking about. Faith that cannot be shaken, unshaken faith. Faith that cannot be affected by persecution or trials. I read about a man, Bishop Polycarp, who was asked to recount Jesus. And the only thing he was asked to do for them to set him free for not being born is to just say, Caesar is Lord. That was all he needed to do. And then to burn incense to Caesar. But listen to what he said. 86 years I have served Christ. And he never did me any wrong. How can I blaspheme my King who saved me? 86 years I have served Christ. He never did me any wrong. How can I blaspheme my King who saved me? And then he was born at stake. He saw death coming. You know, if they just shoot him, that would have been better. But they tie him to the stake and set fire on it. And the fire was coming. And the only thing I need to do to save my life from being killed by this fire, this torment, this pain, this agony of this fire, the only thing the man needed to do is to say, Caesar is Lord. And he said, no. In 6 years, I've served him. He has done me no wrong. And so why should I blaspheme my King? Huh? Steadfastness in the face of opposition. Undying faith. Faith that keeps trusting God even in the midst of trials and challenges of the world. That's the faith that Jesus Christ is coming for. Undying faith in the midst of trials. The kind of faith that Job talked about in the midst of his challenges, in the midst of the difficulty. Job said in Job chapter 19 verse 25, he said, I know that my Redeemer lives. I may not know anything. I may not know why I'm here, but I know that my Redeemer lives. The wife said, curse God and die. Why are you still retaining your integrity? Curse God and die. We are talking about undying faith, deathless faith, faith that does not die. The Bible talks about Abel in the book of Hebrew. He said, Abel, even though he's dead, but yet speaking. We are talking about faith that not a sort of death can quench. That's the faith we are talking about. And that is the faith we must have. Let's read Hebrews 11 verse 22. Let me show you something here. I'm just laying a foundation. Hebrews 11 verse 12. I mean verse 22. Look at these. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bone. The Bible said by faith. Why? What makes it faith? What makes this statement faith? Is it by faith? Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of departure. I calculated it at the time that Joseph was making mention of departure, Israel have stayed in Egypt for 70 to 71 years. And they have enjoyed the goodness of God in Egypt. They have seen the wonders of God in Egypt. So they were not suffering when Joseph made this proclamation. It was in the time of plenty. You know, it is easy to proclaim departure when the season is hard. But for a man to proclaim departure when they are in the time of good things, plenty of good things, then there's something he has seen. Because he believed, based on prophecy, that they are living in Egypt. Friends, I'm talking about faith that even in the midst of prosperity, it does not swallow our conviction in God. That it doesn't matter how much God bless us, our heart will not be set on money. And Joseph made them to swear that they will carry his bone, and that was exactly what happened. If you check in Exodus chapter 13, verse 19, Exodus 13, verse 19, and Moses stood the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you and shall carry up my bones from here with you. Then finally, Joshua chapter 24, verse 32. Joshua 24, verse 32. The bones of Joseph with the children of Israel had brought out of Egypt. Do you know how long this has taken? Huh? A man made a statement on dying faith. And the bone of Joseph. Do you know how many years they spent in Egypt before they finally left? And then finally, Joseph's bone was buried. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the faith that Jesus is coming for is an unshaking faith. I've said all this to come to this. Last year, when we had this conference, the theme of the conference was holding faith. And I gave four reasons why we need to hold on to faith. I said, number one, we need to hold on to faith because there's a tendency for it to be ruined or to be lost. That if you don't hold on to faith, that faith can be ruined or lost. I said, number two, because of the danger that lies along the path of our finish, that has the potential to let us let go of faith. The dangers that we cannot avoid. The dangers that we cannot pray away. That has the potential to weaken our faith. And that's why we need to hold on to faith. And number three, and that is where I want to draw my teaching from. There is a tempter who does not want you to continue in the faith. And who is that tempter? The devil. Devil doesn't want us to continue in faith. And so that's why we need to hold on to faith. Now, Satan does not want us to continue in faith. And then I want us to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 from verse 1. Because Satan doesn't want us to continue in faith, we need to hold on to faith. 4 Thessalonians chapter 3 from verse 1. Finally, when we could not stand it no longer, NLT, we decided to stay alone in Athens. And we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. Will send him to you to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith. Take note of that. In your faith. And to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you are going through. Because trouble do shake people. That's why we're talking about unshaking faith. But you know that we are destined for such troubles. Even while we were with you, we warned you that trouble will soon come. And they did, as you well know. Verse 5. That is why when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. Why? I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and our work had been useless. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and our work as in what? Now, what work is he talking about? The work of salvation they have done among them. So, which means that the tempter has the possibility to rubbish the work of salvation that has been done among us. There's a possibility for the tempter to destroy, to make our faith useless. And so Paul said, I'm afraid. When I could no longer bear, I sent him to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you. And our work had been useless. I checked the word useless from Webster Dictionary. Listen to what it says. The word useless means having no use, unserviable, producing no good end. Producing no good end. So it is possible that the tempter can cause the work of faith that has been built in us to produce no good at the end of the day. And because there is a possibility for that to happen, then we have to hold on to faith. Now, if the tempter is capable of doing it, how is he going to do it? By two things. It may be more. I just have two things to share with us. And that will be my sharing in this conference. That's all. Number one, way by which the tempter can affect our faith. Number one way, through false doctrine. Everybody say false doctrine. Everybody say false doctrine. Everybody say false doctrine. True false doctrine. Friends, we need to understand that in order for the enemy to cause our faith to be useless, it comes through false doctrine. And so we must be sensitive enough to detect false teaching. If you see Paul lamenting in Galatians chapter 4 verse 1, he said, "Oh, you foolish Galatian, who has bewitched you?" If you read that scripture down, you realize the people who bewitched them, the people who taught them something different, were people among the church who try to distort, alter the truth of God's word and said to them that even though you are born again, you have been saved, you seem to be circumcised. And Paul said, "No, who have cast a spell on you?" Friends, we have to strengthen ourselves and guide ourselves against false teaching. Because he is capable of destroying our faith. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 2, what does it say? It says, "As newborn babe, do what? Desire the sincere milk of the word, that it might what? That it might grow." Now, the word sincere is from the Greek word that means unadulterated. That means pure. So, what produces growth? He said, desire the pure word of God. That is what? that is able to build you up, to cause you to grow. So which means that if I must grow, I must pay attention to what? Pure doctrine. So if the doctrine, if the teaching I'm listening to is not pure, it can't produce the end result, which is growth. Are we together? Hello, are we together? Because that's the end. It's that you might grow thereby. So if the word is not pure, then I can't grow. I can't grow. Because impure word can't grow any believer. For there to be growth, the word must be pure. And when I mean pure, I'm talking about pure, unhindered, without a mixture. Because once you introduce, if you have truth that is 99%, and you introduce falsehood that is 1%, is it still pure? Huh? By the definition, is it still pure? Because purity talks about without mixture. Once there is a mixture, it's no longer pure. And once that is introduced, it can't produce growth. It cannot. So the word has to be pure. And so we cannot afford to just stay. Acts chapter 20 from verse 28. Acts 20 from verse 28. New Living Translation. Acts 20 from verse 28. It says, so guard yourself and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as elders. Look at this. I know that false teachers, like vicious wolves, will come in among you. Look at that. Among you. After I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group will rise up and what? Distort the truth. For what purpose? In order to draw a following. Distort the truth. Distort the truth. Now, look at this. The truth is there, but what are they going to do? They will distort it. The word distort means to utter. The word distort means to falsify. They would do something to the truth. They would distort it. And once the truth is distorted, what happened? It can't produce the result. It can't produce growth. Hello? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 1. Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we will never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and an underhanded method. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. Distort the truth, to twist it, to utter it, to force it, to corrupt it. They would do something to the truth. They would twist the truth. They will corrupt the truth. They will utter the truth. To what end? Friends, to make us to lose our faith in God. And you know what I realized? Now, this is the same thing that the devil did to Eve. Hello? The same thing. Genesis chapter 3. There is a truth. You are free to eat everything, every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the truth, right? That's what? That is the truth. You are free to eat everything, But you must not eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That you must not eat. Is that the truth? Then what happened? Satan came and said, as God said, you shouldn't eat. And Eve said, no, God said we can eat. Except the tree in the midst of the garden. And then Satan said, and God said, the day we eat it, we shall surely die. And Satan said, no, you will not surely die. What is that? Distorting the truth. You shall not surely die. The truth is, the day you eat it, you will die. But you shall not surely die. That distortion of the truth. That's altering the truth. And that was all the devil needed to get Eve to deny God. That's all. And the moment Eve believed that word, she was persuaded. In fact, New King James said, she was convinced that the truth can actually make one wise. She gave it to her husband. He heard. And then what happened? End of story. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? And the challenge to me is this. The same thing is happening in our day. Distortion of the truth. And you know why most of us don't notice it? Because some of this distortion is being done by some of the men you reverence so much. So you don't see them. You don't see them. Because we pay so much attention on men without listening to their proclamation. Now, the proclamation of this man, is it consistent with scriptures? What this man that I respect so much, what he's proclaiming, is he in line with scriptures? Do you know something? If the devil has come as the devil to Eve, he will have paid more attention. But he didn't come as serpent. He didn't come as Satan. He entered the serpent. He used something that he was already familiar with. They've been staying with the serpent in the garden. They knew them. They talked to, I hope you know they were talking to each other. Yeah? The Bible said the serpent spoke. He didn't speak Hebrew. He spoke the serpent language. And Eve understood the serpent language. And Eve replied the serpent, and the serpent understood human language. The beautiful creature of God. But behind that beautiful creature of God has been captured by Satan. And that the proclamation that was coming from the serpent was no longer the serpent's initiative. Was no longer the serpent thought. It was satanic thought. And unfortunately, he couldn't discern that. And she bought into that. And they lost their faith. First teaching. First teaching. Why did they have to distort the truth? Because the truth is the foundation upon which our faith stands. Our faith is not hanging. Our faith has a base. The base of our faith is the word of God. That is the basis of what I believe. Now, I didn't believe in isolation. What caused us to believe? Hello? Why did we believe? We had the gospel. Can you give me Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 13? We had the gospel. NLT. Look at this. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth. Look at that. The truth. The good news. So what is the truth? The good news. Right? That God saves you. That's what you have. And then when you believe in Christ. Now you heard the truth. The truth that God saves. Then what happened? I believe in that truth. Huh? And he identified me as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. So I had the truth, which is the word of God. Then I believe that truth. So the basis of my belief is the word that I had. And listen, friends. Bible says by prophet he brought them out of Egypt. And by prophet they were preserved. So if they had the truth and you believe, for you to keep believing, you must keep hearing the truth. Listen carefully. If you had the truth when you believe, And what you keep hearing after that is no longer the truth. You can't end with him. It is not possible. Because the only thing that can sustain us on this journey is the truth. If this is not the truth, you can't end in him. There's no exegesis or exposition to be done on this. By prophet, he brought them out. And by prophet, they were preserved. When the time of Moses was ended, there was no vacuum. Joshua came and he led them out. They were not led on a vacuum. So that's the principle. So we are saved by the word of God. We'll be sustained by the word of God. So if what I'm hearing is not the truth, it can't sustain me. Are we still here? And so, friends, that's why we can't keep quiet. We cannot. Friends, it will be a suicide to keep quiet in the face of false teaching. We cannot. Because, do you know what is happening? When a man proclaims what is not true, there is a spirit that is, because the word we speak, Bible said they are spirit and they are life. Listen, both good words and wrong words, they are spirit. I hope you know that. So when a man speaks what is not true, he releases words into the realm of the spirit. That does what? That brings darkness into the people. Hello? Because it's a battle of words. He releases words. And then words does what? Words shaping people's life. When you see people behave the way they behave, it's because of what they are hearing. When you keep hearing something over time, you start becoming it. Are you understand what I'm talking about? When you keep hearing something over time, it is just a matter of time. You start becoming what you are hearing. It becomes your experience, then you become it. The word became flesh. And so if what I'm hearing is not the truth, so when somebody made a proclamation in the realm of the spirit, say it's physical, stand here and don't make something. Friends, the person has released something in the realm of the spirit. And so for those of us who are custodian of the truth, if you keep quiet, it means that there is nothing else that is contrary what is being said. It doesn't matter where you are and you say it. It might be your parlor and begin to teach your children, no, that is not the truth. Do you know what you are doing? You are also releasing works in the realm of the spirit. But if you keep quiet, you are like the darkness to thrive. What made David make a difference when faced with Goliath? Yeah? The same thing that they had for 40 days, David had it once and he was angry. Saul was there, the king. They've been hearing for 40 days. David had it once. And that was a change. Because, when he saw, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And you know that the battle actually started with words. David was, because listen, when Goliath came, he uttered words. It was those words he uttered that made them to cave in and hide. Hello? When David came, he uttered words. So why are we keeping quiet? What if somebody says that what John the Baptist, what Paul is teaching, some things that Paul is teaching is false. That he saw a revelation. And he saw Paul, and Paul said, some of the things I thought is wrong. How dare you say that? What authority do you have to correct Apostle Paul? Yeah, correcting scriptures. Saying that some of the things that Paul said were not true. They are not consistent with scripture. And these are the people you are listening to. And you don't understand the weight of that matter, of that statement. Because what you are doing, you are discrediting the Bible. And that was exactly what Satan did. It distorted the scriptures. Because once you can discredit the Bible, then you are telling me that I have no business to put my faith on it. Because there is error. It's fallible. So I can't be putting my faith in something that is fallible, something that is error. Bible says confidence in unfaithful man in the days of trouble is like a tooth and a feet out of joint. Nobody wants to put confidence in someone who is not faithful. So when you say that the Bible has error, then we are saying that the basis of my faith is shaken. That distortion of scriptures. And friends, we can't keep quiet. No, we cannot. Are you listening to me? And the only way, friends, is to do what? To guard yourself with scriptures. So that when you are hearing something, you know that this one is not true. This is not true. And you must look beyond who is speaking. Friends, please, it doesn't matter what look beyond who is speaking. No, this statement is satanic. It may come from this man of God, but this statement this man made is satanic. This is Satan. This is not serpent. This is Satan inside serpent. Serpent won't talk this way. The serpent, the creature of God, will not discredit what God has done. The creature of God will not tell Eve that God, the creator, is lying. How can the serpent? But Eve couldn't decode that is not serpent, that is Satan. Because how can the creature, be discrediting the creator? How can the creature be saying that creator is lying? But he was so carried away by the swollen words. By the oratory power. And then she couldn't discern the statement that this is distorted. My friend, we can't afford to be carried away in these last days. And we must pay attention to scriptures. And that's what Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, and I, brethren, from verse 1, New King James, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellency of speech, of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Look at verse 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words. Of what? Of woman wisdom. But look at this. But with the demonstration of the Spirit and of what? He said, it's not with persuasive word of woman wisdom. But with the demonstration of the Spirit and of, why? Verse 5 tells us why. He said, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Because if your faith is resting on the wisdom of God, it can't sustain you in all season. Wisdom of men. If your faith is resting on the wisdom of men, it can't sustain you in all season. It cannot. It cannot sustain you in all season. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5, what does it say? Verse 4. Look at this. Why do you see believers struggling with masturbation, struggling with sin, struggling with that? Huh? He said, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes what? Our faith. Overcoming faith. But friends, if that faith is not built on God's word, it cannot overcome anything. And so what the devil tries to do is this. He tried to distort the word. Huh? He introduces poison to it. And so once that is done, then what my faith is built on is already shaking. It's having K leg. And then it's a matter of time. In times of difficult times, it can't stand any longer. Then it cracks. And so we have to be awakened to the fact that, friends, we have to take the word of God so seriously. Take the word of God so seriously. And don't allow ourselves to be deceived. I was watching a video yesterday. I think myself and Brother Sam just went. I think it was the day before yesterday. I almost cried. I won't mention him. Very popular man. Made so impact. And he made a statement. He said, poverty is bad. He said, poverty, to be poor is next to wickedness. I don't have issue with all those nonsense. But he said something that brought sorrow to my heart. And he said, that you know that even in heaven, Lazarus was still begging. That God doesn't reckon with poor people. Because even in heaven, Lazarus was squatting because he was at the bosom of Abraham. He didn't have a house of his own. If I mention the person, some of you won't believe it. That Lazarus was still cutting. Because he was cutting in Abraham's bosom. And when the rich man wanted to send an herald, he didn't send Abraham. He sent Lazarus because Lazarus is a poor man. That's what he has used us his life to do. So he couldn't send Father Abraham. He had to send Lazarus. Oh, Jesus Christ. Pastor Frank, is that not distortion of scripture? Ha! Ha, God. Ha! And look at the crowd sharing him. Because the man has said one revelation. How could you? How could you brought distortion? How could you falsify scriptures? How could you? In a bid to talk about prosperity, how could you say that? Huh? How could you say that? Ha! Huh? Yeah, to draw following. Ah, Jesus Christ. How could you make such statement? How? 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 I say how? Why will you make such statement? That distortion of the Bible. And the sad thing is that that's what some of us believe. That's what some of us believe. So when Jesus Christ said, if I come back, will I find faith on the earth? One of the enemies, one of the things that the enemy wants to do to cause us, to cause Jesus not to have faith on the earth, is to introduce false doctrine. Because once what we are hearing is false, our faith has nothing else to stand on. And so what do I need to do? Oh God, fight false doctrine. Guard your heart against false doctrine. By what? By embracing the truth. You must know the word of God for yourself. You must be serious about your Christian life. Some of the things we teach in Bible school should be taught on Sunday and Wednesday service. Or any of the day you have midweek service. Because simple interpretation of scripture will have clear what that man of God said. Because Abraham's bosom was a metaphoric statement.
Yes, sir.
That story was a parable. You don't establish scripture by parable. Huh? Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? A friend, it's a dangerous time we are living in. All is not well in Zion, no. Ah, no. If you think all is well, then you have been deceived. Darkness is upon us. And this darkness is gaining ground. Are you seeing the audacity by which men speak falsehood? Are you seeing boldness by which men speak falsehood these days? Something you can never... How can a man say you can... If are you struggling with pornography? Just continue. Continue. Don't worry. Just continue. Read the word of God and then continue your... What a statement. And he said it boldly. Distortion of the truth. Friends, is the Satan behind the serpent? You must be able to know Jesus knew when Peter said, "You will not die." He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He knew that was not Peter, that was Satan. He knew. So he must know. Darkness, the day of darkness upon us. And this darkness is gaining ground. And you know why we don't know that it's darkness? Because it's masquerading as light. And so you are not seeing that it's darkness. The only thing that can make you see that it's darkness is the magnitude of light that is in you. Light. Light of God's word. The Bible says the light shines in darkness, and the darkness can't comprehend it. The darkness did not understand it. The only way to overcome darkness is light. Illumination. Light. 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 Friends, we need light in the days in which we live. It is getting darker and darker out there. I'll say the truth. Getting darker out there. How much of light do you have inside of you? How much of light do you have? The Bible says there's going to be a day when people will not endure sound doctrine. He said they'll be itching to themselves, teachers. They will heap to themselves, teachers, I've been itching ears. Light! Friends, light! Light! Let me close with 2 Corinthians chapter 11, from verse 1. Oh, that you will bear with me in a little fully, and indeed you do bear with me. For I'm jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I've betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a what? A chaste virgin to Christ. Verse 3. But I fear. This is Apostle Paul lamenting, speaking fear. But I fear. Let somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. As the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. So your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. As the serpent deceive Eve. By what? is craftiness. And we read that. We just talked about that in James chapter 3. How did he do that? He distorted the truth. He says, so I'm interested in the effect of that. Can you give me this? Just give me different translations, simpler translation, New King James, NLT, any translation you have. I'm interested in the last part. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted. Huh? Undivided devotion. So, what is the end point? My devotion to Christ. So, what is after? Is my devotion to Christ. So, he did all that to affect my devotion to Christ. My trust in him. Hello? Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? So the issue, the goal of Satan is to cause me to lose my faith in Christ. That was what he did to Peter. And Jesus Christ said, I prayed for you that your faith should not what?
Fail.
The goal is your faith. The goal is our faith. That is the goal. He wants us to lose our confidence in God. So that I no longer put my trust in Him, in His Word. Friends, we have to wake up. We have not seen false teaching. I'm telling you. You have not seen false teaching. And what will make it worse is that the people who will be dishing out this false teaching are people who are popular, are people well respected. And if your focus is on the people and not what they are saying, you'll be deceived. Listen to the proclamation, not who is talking. Is this what this person is saying? Is it consistent with scriptures? Hallelujah. If I come, will I find faith? Devil knew that what God is looking for is faith on the head. And because he's an adversary of God, what is he doing? Distorting that. He doesn't want that to happen. So he go after his own people. And then he's trying to shake their faith. He tried to distort the word of God on which their faith is standing. So that they don't go ahead trusting God. And one of the things we have to trust God in this conference is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That my knowing, my knowledge about Christ is beyond the things around me. That I know that Jesus is Lord. And I'm going to believe in him. It doesn't matter what I see or what I don't see. That my confidence is in Christ. That Christ is my anchor. And I'm satisfied with him alone. I'm satisfied with him alone. That nothing else will cause me to lose my faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm done. I want us to pray. Let's rise up on our feet and let's pray. Let's ask for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's ask for the revelation of Christ. Revelation of Christ. Revelation of Christ. That will know his voice. That will know him. Will know him. Beyond the letters. Beyond what we've been taught. Will know him personally. That will know him personally. knowing personally the revelation of Christ. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep. I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. Do you know him who you have believed? He said, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him on that day. I am persuaded. What is your persuasion about God? What is your persuasion about God? Friends, the days of deception are here. The days of deception are here. Let's pray, Lord, deliver me from being deceived. Let's pray for light. Lord, deliver me from being deceived. Lord, deliver me from being deceived. Lord, deliver me from being deceived. I pray for illumination. I pray for light. Light of your word. Light of your word. Light of your word. The Bible said the light shines in darkness. The darkness comprehended not. Lord, flood our hearts with light. 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 That we know that we know. Flood our hearts with light. The ability light to discern what is true and what is not. That I will see beyond what man is saying. I will see beyond the proclamation of men. I will see beyond the proclamation of men. Let's pray that the voice of Jesus will be louder than the voice of Satan. The voice of Jesus will be louder than the voice of Satan. Yes, Lord. Let your voice be louder than the darkness in my heart. Let your voice be louder than the darkness in my heart. The voice of Jesus. Yes, Lord. The voice of Jesus. Light. Light.
Thank you, Lord. Let your voice, Lord, be louder than the voice of darkness, than the voice of the evil one. Thank you, dear Lord. Blessed be your name forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord.